Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy, Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. No. Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call them the Dork.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a beach.
Son of a beach.
All right, another addition to PFW in Progress that is sure to go down the toilet without Fred Kirsch at the helm. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo flying, not solo, what, you know, just a duo, a dual flight in the cockpit here. I'm going to have you take over, Andy, because there's way too much food here, and I cannot sit here and watch you eat.
As
I have to talk. That's because I'm all flustered. Look at this food.
This is one of the best...
This is one of the best spreads ever. Pizzeria Grande continues to come through. I believe it is Chris, formerly of the Bronx. Chris, formerly of the Bronx, staying at the top of our Hall of Fame chain for listeners.
No question.
This is just an outstanding spread. But, as I did mention, we do have some bad news because no Fred Kirsch today. But
we have some good news.
But I do have good news. No Eric Scalavino. Scalavino. That's Scalavino. Eric is not with us today.
No formal artistic training.
He had an appointment today, so he will not be with us. Fred evidently is continuing his dual role as both the stirrer of the ship here and at the same time in the Patriots Hall of Fame for Brian Morey. So he is doing. We may get a visit from him.
I hope
later
so.
On in the show. I do too, because at least I'd rather eat cold food than not get to eat at all. And I know you won't stop the whole show. So,
well, I'm half done with my calzone already, so
good for you.
I am continuing my streak of chicken parm calzones that I foresee heading well into the summer, because they make a good chicken parm calzone and I see no reason to depart from something you like.
All right, well, we do have some news since the last time we spoke.
Some news. let me get the paper.
Well,
Fred Kirsch style.
More importantly than that paper,
no, this is very important.
Well, what about the fact that Matt Cassel signed his tender? Would that be
I'm going
more
with
important than that?
Pat Graham will be a New England Patriot for longer than Matt Cassel will be. I'm sticking with my, they're going to trade Cassel.
You never
How
know,
about
the way this guy,
tall, skinny bench warmer?
The way this guy takes jobs, I'm not sure if I would.
Who, Cassel? You?
No, this Pat Graham.
Oh, you're down on Pat Graham already.
Well, he had the last job he had for, a month and 2 days. So I'm not, you know, if I'm new, I don't know if I want to make that deal. As the Mad Dog would say, I don't know, Andy. I don't know if I want to make that deal.
I don't foresee him getting a better offer down the pipeline.
Well, anyway, Andy alluded a gentleman named Pat Graham, who spent some time as a coaching assistant, grad assistant under Charlie Weiss at Notre Dame. More recently, just took a post as defensive line coach with the University of Toledo on January 8th. Has been wooed by Bill Belichick and New England Patriots. He will be arriving.
Holy Toledo!
That was according to a report in the Toledo. Forgive me, Andy. What's the name of the paper in Toledo?
I think it's The Blade.
The Blade. The Toledo
That's a good
Blade.
Name for a paper.
Well, you know, with Eric not here, too, especially, that's a good name for a paper. But
what does that mean?
Never mind, because I don't want to get in trouble with that guy who doesn't really want to
listen
to us.
No, he's not listening anymore.
He doesn't really want to listen to us, but he can't stop making fun of us. So anyway, I'll move on.
So this guy went from the blade to the razor?
Yes. Very, very good, Andy. That's what you do best right there. The meaningless, stupid.
Can I go back to eating now? Am I done?
Yes. So he is, according to the Toledo Blade, has accepted a position in the New England Patriots as a coaching assistant. And I've noticed that some of the blogs here locally, Mike Reese has picked up on that and and quote unquote confirmed it.
Yes, PR is confirming.
PR is confirming that
there will
Patrick
be no release
Graham will
they
be.
Don't do those
they don't do those until
guys.
I don't know. They just finally decide that they're going to put one out. And,
well, but he's a. I'm not even sure they do coaching assistants. Yeah. You see them at the bottom of the roster or whatever they list them. But
so that would ostensibly take the spot of Boyer there.
Potentially.
Which is Josh Boyer. I always want to call him Jed from the Red Sox assistant Jed Hoyer there.
But Graham has an interesting. Did you read his bio? He's like bounced all around.
Well, he's a local guy,
tight ends, D-line, offensive line. Played at Yale. Grew up in Waterbury, Connecticut,
I believe.
He has a pretty extensive bio on it on NotreDame.com or whatever it is. Talks about he broke down offensive film at this spot, broke down defensive film at this spot, coached special teams. He was in University of Richmond. Isn't that? That ties into that low-level football you like to watch. He worked there for a while and also did some kick return and special team stuff for them while working with the tight ends and the D-line. Would you like to respond to that low-level comment, or are you too busy chewing?
You really are a condescending little man.
He has one of those Belichick-type backgrounds where he's bounced all around and seen a lot of football. So, you know, I'm sure he'll be breaking down some film for the Patriots and filling one of those coaching assistant roles well.
Definitely, as you pointed out, with all that experience in different areas, that's sort of the poster child for Bill Belichick. That's what he's looking for is guys that aren't pigeonholed into one thing, guys that are diverse and flexible and can do some different area work in different areas. And on paper, it would look like Patrick Graham can do that. Is it Patrick? Does he go by Patrick or is it Pat? What does it say there in that? It
says Patrick Graham bio. But
yeah, so I'm going to go by Patrick unless he says.
Let me see what the Blade
unless he comes
said.
Up to me and says, you know what, Paul, I heard on PFW in Progress you continue to refer to me as Patrick. Pat's okay. We're friends. You
the Blade call called him Patrick.
I think I heard
well.
Fred call him Patty.
Patty,
oh,
yes.
Patty O'Graham.
And he'll, Patty Graham will align himself with Scotty O'Brien, as Fred likes to say.
What was that joke about an Irish guy that's out all night or something you leave out all night? Patio furniture.
there you go. That is probably the most important news of the day, but over the weekend we had some
Pro Bowl.
Some news with the Pro Bowl, which not so much for the Patriots, but also with Matt Cassel. And he has...
As we predicted last Thursday, the team would take as much time as they could before applying the tag.
Once again, PFW couldn't have been further from the truth. We were way off on this one. We all thought, Fred included, that it would take a little bit of time and the Patriots would explore all their options and use their resources and take the time to get as much information as possible. And instead, they franchised him on the first day they could, and Castle immediately signed it. According to reports by ESPN and Chris Mortensen specifically.
Yes. I have no problem with that. That's probably what I would do on the Cassel end. If somebody had $14.65 million sitting on the table, I'd be signing on that dotted line too. The surprise came. We thought they would just take their time in applying the tag. But, yeah, it came very quickly, and Bill Belichick in the release said he's looking forward to working with Matt in 2009. Our own Fred Kirsch basically told us to take from that what you will.
Well, we put it out there. You know, we franchise them. So there it is. The other 31 teams, you take with that for what you will.
To which I responded.
What's that?
Well, there's one team that could say, oh, well, damn. Patriots keeping Cassel. Bill's looking forward to working through him in 2009. I guess we can scratch Cassel off our list of possible quarterbacks. Or I guess you go the other way and say, the bidding is now open. Please put your bids in unmarked envelopes and slide them under the door.
So I would imagine that topic is going to take up a lot of our show today. You know, Wither Cassel, for lack of a better term. And what else we have? A couple other little factoids. Roman Pfeiffer.
He's back in the league.
He's back in the NFL. He's going to be.
Were you surprised?
Yes. I didn't picture him as being much of a coaching candidate. Not that he wasn't a cerebral player, because I think he was. But I thought that, especially toward the end, the time commitments, even as a player,
stunned,
were of utmost importance to him. So, yes, I was surprised by that.
He flew back across the country every week to see his kids in L.A. or wherever he lived.
He's joined Josh McDaniel's staff as an assistant defensive line coach in Denver. So, Good for Roman Pfeiffer, one of the real good guys in the Patriots locker room, and one of the more underrated, I think, Andy, pieces of those championship puzzles from 01 to 04. I thought he had a lot to do with that team, those teams' success, especially in the earlier one. I think 04 he was more he was injured a little bit and not as big a factor. But Roman Pfeiffer, PFW favorite, so good for him. And good for Josh, because we still like Josh, and we're glad that he got a good guy on his coaching staff. What other, you know, not a whole lot in the Pro Bowl. Wes Welker, three catches for 23 yards. And Gostkowski just really kicked extra points. Three I don't PATs think he didn't miss any field goals, right?
No.
I didn't see, in full disclosure here, I didn't see a play of the Pro Bowl.
I did. I saw Revis from the Jets make a tremendous one-handed interception in coverage of Anquan Boldin. That was about all I saw.
I didn't see even that much, so you're well ahead of the game in terms of that.
I usually am.
But without Fred, we'll try to get by today and do your emails.
We'll
take
actually
your phone
read
calls.
The emails today?
Yeah, well, we have a lot lined up, too. Webradio@patriots.com is the way you can email us, webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call, 508-543-7482.
Or you can combine the audio and the text and send an MP3 to webradio@patriots.com.
Which I'm glad you mentioned that, Andy, because we do have one of those.
Hopefully it's a long one that will allow me to eat.
Which we will play a little bit later, not right off the go. I'm just kind of cleaning out some of the stuff that has come in, some of the stuff that's a little bit older. And also, what else do we have? I had something else in mind that completely lost my train of thought. That couldn't have been that important anyway.
Okay, Paul, I'm going to give you a list.
All right, you give me a list.
This is coming straight off the top of my head as I'm working on Ask PFW today, which, if fans care, will be posted later this afternoon on Patriots.com. But number of players being bandied about as potential Patriots, either as signing, as trade, or as pie in the sky, I'll say, because Patrick Willis was on the list. But Patrick Willis would be one of them. But Tony Gonzalez, Larry Johnson, obviously sort of indicating they might want out of Kansas City. LaDainian Tomlinson, San Diego, obviously kind of feuding with A.J. Smith, could be on the trading block, although my gut tells me he isn't. I think A.J. Smith would have some big stones if he trades him, because to me that would be the final move in the end of his era there.
Particularly to the Patriots.
Right. Well, that's how I ended my answer on SPFW. I said, and what are the chances that some AFC West team sends one of the most talented athletes in the history of the NFL across to the Patriots yet again? How many times is that going to happen? But Lee Bodden, who obviously is a step down from the caliber of player we were just discussing, Bart Scott, Julius Peppers. Give me your little rundown. Any of those guys, potential Patriots, and most likely to least likely. Like Peppers, I would put as unlikely. Whereas Lee Bodden, to me, is they need corners. He's a veteran corner. Why not?
I would say that Larry Johnson is the least likely. Well, LT is the least likely on the list that you put together. And Larry Johnson, I don't see them as being fits. I don't think that they really need running backs. And I don't see any way, as you already pointed out about LT, I don't see A.J. Smith doing that. Obviously, you would take LT, but I don't see any way that
I think
Smith
LT would be
that.
Great here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I just don't think there's any chance that San Diego would do that. No. So moving on from there, I think Peppers would be more of a possibility than you would. I don't think it's a very good possibility. Out of all of those sort of established guys, I would say Tony Gonzalez is probably the best chance because I think that he really wants out. He's at the end. I don't think it would cost the Patriots a lot to get him in terms of compensation. And I do think that there's a glaring need for tight end. I don't think – we talked about this a little bit last week on the show. I don't think the offense can really get much better. So I'm not sure how much you'd be willing to invest. I think that – listen, there's no question that Tony Gonzalez would be a big upgrade over Benjamin Watson, an enormous upgrade, even at age 32, 33 when the 2009 season starts. But I look at the Patriots' offense, and it's just not the problem to me. They move the ball and score points at will.
Right.
So I really don't know how much better a good tight end is going to make your offense. Whereas, you get a solid cornerback or, a playmaking safety or even a pass rushing edge rusher like Julius Peppers, I think that can significantly improve your defense. And I think that would be I would be more inclined to go that way if I were Bill Belichick. But in terms of ranking the guys, I would say you're probably right, Andy. Lee Bodden is the guy.
Yeah.
To me.
Well, he is the MO of the guy Bill signs to play corner.
He's just not very good.
He's a veteran guy who's had some success in the league that's available.
And a guy who, you know, 6 or 7 years now in the league. Did you look him up at all?
No.
He's been around for a little while. He was with Cleveland, you know, now Detroit. Here's another guy that Detroit's 0-16, terrible defense, released, and people are clamoring to pick him up. And we've gotten a lot of emails about Lee Boden for a guy of Lee Boden's stature. Let's put it that way.
Funny thing is, everybody either wants or doesn't want Lee Boden because in Cleveland, there was a lot of talk of they were unhappy that they couldn't find corners, and they were unhappy that he was a part of that Sean Rogers trade. So they wanted him back in Cleveland, but apparently didn't want him at all in Detroit where he went to. Now, I know it's money because he had a bonus due, I believe, coming up, and that was part of him being released. But he's just he's one of those veteran guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody
said. We call those VAGs. That's VAG, V-A-G, before I get in trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, it's another one of these Fernando Bryant guys.
Right.
I mean, a little less experience,
same
but
thing.
Same team supposedly was only cut, not because of talent, but because of a bonus.
And you can't tell me Fernando Bryant couldn't play in the secondary.
Well, that's true.
You can't tell Fernando Bryant.
Oh, look, I'm still surprised that Fernando Bryant got cut, but I think we can all agree that cut or no cut, he wasn't an impact player. And I don't think Lee Boden would be an impact player. I don't think he's necessarily an upgrade over what you have.
I agree. I thought I'd throw it out there.
Oh,
those
no.
are all the names we've been getting flooded
yes,
with.
And we have been getting flooded with Lee Boden.
So would you do Castle for Kansas City's one and Gonzalez?
Castle for Kansas City's one and Gonzalez. Castle for Kansas City's one and Gonzalez.
How many times are you going to say it?
I'm not sure that Kansas City would do that.
Well, I'm not sure either. I'm not sure
but
either
yes,
team would do it, actually.
Yes, I would do that.
I would, too.
Castle for Gonzalez and a one? Absolutely. Now, to take you a step further, I don't think Kansas City would do that, or at least not all. I mean, I think Kansas City might ask for a three in return. Castle won a three for a one in Gonzalez, something like that. We had one of the SPFWs today that said Castle for Gonzalez, Larry Johnson, and the one.
I'd do that, too.
Yeah, I would do that, too.
Even if Larry Johnson takes
one
misstep.
Even if I had to turn around and cut him.
Right. If Larry Johnson makes one misstep on August 1st, you cut him. He was a throw-in in a deal.
So, I mean, there are a lot of those. This has been a very interesting offseason because for the first time.
It hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, for the first time in years, the Patriots are major players in all arenas. I mean, coaching, personnel, players, free agency, trades, franchise. You name it. If there's an element that's of interest in the NFL offseason, the Patriots are players in it. First time that I can ever remember that being the case.
Yeah, very interesting. That's why many people are saying this is one of the more critical offseasons in team history, or at least recent team history. Now, do you buy into the whole theory that Bill may or may not want the number three pick?
You know, I kind of threw that out there on the radio, and I got criticized for it a little bit. I'm not saying that he wouldn't want it. I think I was taken a little bit too literally on this. I'm not saying that he's going to say, oh, I don't want a top five pick or a top seven pick. But I do think that if he had his options, he might prefer to have multiple first-round picks between 10 and 20.
Sure. But what if...
That's not a deal breaker.
He doesn't get to make the trades that are offered. He has to deal with
right.
what is offered.
And
so
certainly, I would...
If Kansas City said the one, which is number three, you got to take it.
Yes. I would absolutely, and I would relish it.
The only thing I question is, and I don't know this yet, is the talent of this draft. I think in most years, if you give Bill the number three pick in the draft, he's going to come away with a pretty good player. And I don't think you're going to say, wow, that contract's ridiculous. He's the worst player I've ever seen, and he's making $40 million. I think Bill, as long as he doesn't draft a tight end with the number three pick, I'm pretty confident that Bill's going to come away with a great player. Whether it's a Sean Taylor safety, whatever it is, a left tackle, I think he's going to come away with a great player.
And I would agree with that. And I'm not saying that he wouldn't want a top pick. That's foolish. And I'm not, I think I was taken, like I said, a little bit literally on that. But I do think that there's an element that he might find it more attractive to get some of those, that middle of the first round sweet spot that they kind of like, where you can get a very good player who can start for you immediately, but yet not get that 35 plus million of guaranteed money right away. And certainly it's not going to be a deal breaker, like you said. If it's number three and that's Kansas City as the team, or if Detroit says, I'll give you the one overall pick, but you can't have the 20 or whatever, I mean, that's the way it is.
Now, what if they do it twice and really parlay this quarterback market? They trade Castle for the number three pick, then trade somebody else looking for a quarterback into the three slot and maximize their assets there.
And this could be a dangerous this could be a dangerous draft for Bill Belichick too, because he always likes to stockpile picks anyway. But I thought I read something that was interesting from Pat Kerwin, who thinks that with the labor situation, there might be even more of that this year. Teams trying to stockpile picks with the labor uncertainty, and I think that makes for an interesting scenario for Belichick, who likes to do that anyway under any regard. But as is our custom, Andy, we like to lead off the interactive portion of PFW in Progress with a phone call.
Like
John from L.A. Is John from L.A. with us?
I don't like John from L.A.
I'm here.
Don't be afraid to be doing something else over there, hi-ho. Too generous.
Andy, you got a problem with me?
Yeah. You got a problem with that?
No, not really.
Yeah, me either. Okay, go ahead.
If you and I faced off, I know eventually if I waited you out, you'd have to go to the bathroom. So
that's accurate. Either that or I'll go to the bathroom on you. But anyway, that's for a different show. Go ahead.
That's good stuff. All right. So if I'm gonna suggest the following off-season scenario, and you let me know if you think that's successful or not enough or too much to expect. We extend Mankins, Wilfork, and we trade Castle for either a pair of twos or a number one. And we do nothing else. I mean, not nothing else, but, you know, that nothing that's very expensive.
I think that's a legitimate possibility, because I think all of those things are pretty easy to get done. Once you trade Castle, the cap situation opens itself up, obviously. I don't think it's going to take a ton to extend Mankins.
No, I don't.
I think he will do one of those Matt Light-like or a pretty friendly deal where it won't be. I don't think he'll be looking to break the bank. I think he likes it here. I think he is one of those guys that money is not the most important thing, and he doesn't care about all that cachet and crap. The Wilfork one, that's the one where you're going to have to invest some money and cares about all that crap.
Fine, it's worth it.
I agree.
That's money well spent. That's what you do a good job, not nickel and diming, but you do a good job negotiating all the most of the other guys on your roster so that you can then afford to do something with Wilfork.
I agree. And I think that would be a fine offseason, assuming the draft involves your defensive questions, if you get some help, some young playmakers in the secondary, maybe a pass rusher.
You guys brought up a great idea, I think, on the roster report on Friday. Lee Bodden, I think, would be I'd love to get him. I think you suggested he might be a little too rich for our blood.
Maybe.
I think he's a great, great fit.
Why?
Because he was very successful in Romeo's scheme. Then he gets traded to Detroit, where they don't use him well at all, in a bad situation. And I just think that that he's more under the radar than a guy like the Alphabet Man from Oakland, or even Dante Robinson, who I think would probably just stay in Houston.
I think Robinson would be the best fit, although I agree with you. I think he's going to stay in Houston. I think he's a very good player. He's bounced back from that major injury. I think he's a physical corner. I think fans would grow to love him, but I think it's too much money, and I think you're right. He's not going to leave. Bodden,
okay.
I don't know that much about, but your little theory about him being more successful in Romeo's scheme than elsewhere is certainly plausible. I just worry that he's going to be one of those guys that's a tweener corner that isn't really great, isn't really a top-level corner, but somebody's going to say, I need a starting corner, and Lee Bodden's available, and give him more money than Bill would waste on him.
I see. All right.
That would be my thought on him.
My final thought is, not that he would do a favor for Belichick, obviously, but a guy like Jim Schwartz, who is such an avowed disciple, or at least, he has a lot of respect for Bill and has a history with him.
Certainly.
Do you think that makes it more likely that there's room to deal there with Detroit, in addition to the fact that, you know, they have two number ones and they need a quarterback? Do you think the fact that there's some sense of, personal integrity between them, where he sees something, you know, this guy did well for Bill, meaning Castle. Do you think their relationship makes it any more likely, or no?
I do think it makes it more likely, but not for the reason you brought up. I don't think for necessarily personnel evaluations. I think they make their own evaluations based on tape, what they've seen.
Right.
But I think the trust of we want to keep this quiet. We don't want this to be in the media. We don't, you know, the professional trust that I think he would have for Pioli, that I think he would have for Schwartz, that I think he has for a variety of people around the league. I think that opens up the lines of communication
for a potential trade. When it gets down to value and all that, then I think they're all trying to do the best they can for their teams and try to cheat the other guy out of everything they get. But I think there is a level of trust there in terms of communication.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
All right, see you, John.
Take it easy.
Thanks, John. You know,
Paul, that was your best segment in years.
Thank you. And I do think that that's interesting that John brought up. And it's sort of like what we talked about with Pioli. Does the presence of a guy like that make it more likely or less likely a trading partner?
I say more.
I think that with those two individuals, I say more as well, with Schwartz and with Pioli. I think that they are probably more likely to hook up and take part in a deal. But it's not as I think that we look at that kind of stuff and we think it's an automatic no-brainer. Well, they can work it out, but I don't think it always works out that way. This is going to be an interesting thing because it – you know, in the Castle situation, we've been reading more and more from different people, you know, various national analysts, guys like Adam Schefter and whatnot. Chris Mortensen last week said it. There seems to be a growing swell of in the camp of that they have franchised Castle with the intent on keeping him. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. But we're going to get to... right before we're going to head to a break, but before we do that, we're going to read.
Can I ask an important question?
Well, yes. Okay, we'll do that because the last thing I want to do before the break is read Chris, formerly with the Broncos email.
We may need to carry this over into future segments of this show. Tough to gauge, but in thinking about Schwartz, defensive-minded coach, obviously.
Right.
Who may or may not value a quarterback, right, as he begins to build
I don't
a
know
franchise.
That much about him.
I don't either, yeah. But I'm just saying. There's a chance he says, yep. I need a great defensive line and a shutdown corner. I'll start there and go. So that could hurt trade value. But this gets back to Bill Belichick. Had Brady not come along and evolved into a superstar, I feel pretty confident that he would have run Drew Bledsoe out of town at some point because I don't think Drew was his kind of quarterback. Would Bill Belichick place a premium on a quarterback?
Starting to look like no, doesn't it?
Because he never had to decide, really, oh, I want to take that great quarterback. Would he be bidding for Matt Castle as his franchise quarterback if Bill Belichick were the head coach of the Detroit Lions? I don't think so. I think he puts his premium on defense and some other options and would get a quarterback. I think he'd be in the derby that a lot of teams are in at this time of year to go get Brad Johnson or Jeff Garcia or Trent Dilfer, these guys. And I wonder if his view has changed on that since he, you know, found Tom Brady on his team.
Well, that will be interesting. I think that you raise a good point because I'm not sure. I if you asked me that question 2 or 3 years ago, Andy, I would have said, yeah, I think he would have been. If he was really badly in need of a quarterback, I think he would have been interested. But now I'm not so sure. I think that he's developed a system that I think that he feels like he can get a coachable guy in here to succeed. But we'll have to see how that plays out. But I do want to get to Chris's email, who is now proud to say Chris in New England.
Oh, nice.
But anyway, he bought us lunch today. And
but he's always been within the borders of Patriots Nation.
Right, and the widespread borders of Patriots Nation.
Even you fit in there.
Oh, God. I don't know how you – but your head doesn't. Anyway – hi, guys. I assume lunch arrived a little bit before noon. Have to let any listeners who are thinking of buying lunch know that it was one of the easiest transactions I've ever done over the phone in a long time. Once I gave your phone number, they had you on file and knew exactly what the deal was.
Yes.
So come on, PFW listeners. Buy a lunch and feed the part of the media machine you actually enjoy. That's I'll tell you, I can't say it any better than that. We should put that on the sign. Feed the part of the media machine that you actually enjoy.
Brilliant! Brilliant!
Let me be the last to ask, do you think the Pats will franchise Matt Castle? Glad that's done. As far as my real question, I was watching the College Football All-Star Challenge on ESPN2 last night, which I also took in a little bit of when I got back from my misery that was the Beanpot Final, and recalled that this contest made me overrate Chad Jackson a few years ago. Graham Harrell of Texas Tech won the passing challenge, making a direct correlation between Florida wide receivers and Tech quarterbacks. So, of all the top-rated college players coming out this year, who do you think will turn out to be the most overrated? Besides Harrell, I also nominate the running back Brown out of UConn. He competed the obstacle course, looked slow, and seemed out of breath. Who's going to surprise his team? Who's going to surprise his team with his incompetence this year? Thanks a lot, guys. I have to tell you how much I appreciate forging through the winter. And that's Chris. Again, thank you very much for an outstanding lunch. If you go to Pizzeria Grande, this is a little editorial note. If you go to Pizzeria Grande and say you heard about them from PFW in Progress, you'll get a free soda.
Nice.
So it's a win-win.
So Jason and Chiba, get your ass on a plane, fly to Walpole.
And don't say we never gave you nothing. You go back with a free Diet Coke.
But I have to say, once again, the guy who really deserves all the props here is the doctor. Jason Dvorkin put this deal together with Pizzeria Grande, once again proving that two gender is the most useless guy in that department. But this is the best deal we've ever had. The food is tremendous. It makes it easy on our listeners.
Right, they don't screw up the orders.
They don't screw up the orders like you do. Everything is tremendous, and I agree. You got to jump on board, listeners. If you haven't bought lunch, what better time than now when it's as easy as can be, and you get a free soda.
All right. Well, it was a little blast from the past last night, Andy, at the Beanpot Final.
Wait a minute. I wanted to rip college players.
I ran into an old friend. Wow.
That was unbelievable. I just heard that burp through the glass.
That was through the glass, you pig.
How did such a big burp come out of such a little pansy?
Anyway, we will get to that and more when we return.
It's a super sale of the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Shop now and gear up because everything is 20% off with additional discounts on select sweatshirts, hats, footballs, and jackets. Can't make it to the stadium? No problem. Shop online at PatriotsProShop.com where you'll still get 20% off every item you buy and pay only $5 for shipping. Get all the gear you need in time for the NFL draft and the 2009 season, or buy that special gift for your Valentine. At the Patriots Pro Shop, there's something for everyone. And you won't only find the largest selection of Patriots gear, but you'll have access to exclusive items you won't see anywhere else. The Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. Stop in or log on now. The super sale at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you're any closer, you'd be in the locker room. Visit PatriotsProShop.com for complete details.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 in the morning if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
Is it disrespectful to call you a nice little player?
A nice little player? I mean, I think that's kind of gay.
How about a short little player?
How about a tall, skinny bench warmer?
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Can't get enough of those great moments of PFW in progress.
Which member of the PFW family, and I'm, of course, including Wes Welker and Matt Castle in that family, will go to more Pro Bowls, Paul Perillo?
Wes Welker.
Has he already gone to the winning number?
No. No. But I think he has a better chance to go again. And I think Castle will be hard-pressed to go if he has to sort of, you know, resurrect a Detroit, for example. We're going to head back to the phone lines before we hit the emails, because we do have a lot of emails, so I want to get to those. I don't want to pull a Fred Kirsch and ignore the emailers. So before we do that, John in Palm Bay is ready on the lines. John, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's up, John?
Excellent.
Hey, I got two quick questions, and then I'll hang up with you guys talk about them. The first one is ESPN was saying if Tom Brady or Peyton Manning had been caught using steroids, would it be as big deal as A-Rod? I'd like to hear your comments on that. And the second one is, I believe Kansas City's got two number ones. Is there any way, if we do Trey Castle, we get, I think it's Dallas's number two, and Tony Gonzalez, and maybe some other players you were talking about?
Yeah, it's. I think you've confused a little bit there. It's Detroit that has the two ones, and one of them is Dallas's. Kansas City just has their one first-round pick. That's number three overall. The only team that has more than one first-round pick is Detroit.
No. There's another.
I thought that's...
No, there's maybe another.
I thought it was Kansas City because of Jared Allen trade.
No, that was
They got that last year.
I believe either Philly. Somebody else has two first-round picks.
Okay, I thought that the only team that had two was Detroit, but I might be mistaken on that. But the Tony Gonzalez thing wouldn't work because that's they don't have the two first-round picks. But you know, certainly Gonzalez would be in play, I think, John, with the Patriots, and obviously they have a need at tight end. I talked about it earlier in the show. I'm not sure that makes the most sense because I think the offense isn't the problem, but he certainly would be an upgrade over Benjamin Watson.
Eagles have 21 and 28.
The Eagles do have two. So, Andy, right again.
As always.
He's right twice in one show.
As far as Manning and Brady, I think it would be a massive story. I would say bigger because...
I don't know if it would be bigger.
I think it would be bigger because I think people have come to the point where they suspect everybody in baseball because of the era and bonds and all that. I think football has gotten by on... We have the toughest drug testing system in sports, and you know we've been able to stay relatively clean or whatever. I think that would be a huge story.
Oh, I absolutely do, and it's a good point by that John brought up. I'm glad he said that. That ESPN is talking about it. It's interesting. I do think it's an enormous story, absolutely enormous. You're talking about the two preeminent players in the game. However, I just think that the public thinks, and almost, for lack of a better word, expects football players to be doing this stuff. And I think that the whole reason that it's such a big deal in baseball is garbage. I think it's just because of the numbers and just because of the sanctity of the game that doesn't really exist in football. I think Andy's 1,000% right. I think it would be a huge story if Peyton Manning were on drugs or Tom Brady were on performance-enhancing drugs. I shouldn't just say drugs. You know, steroids or HGH. Yeah, I mean, but
they stole my pot.
I really think that it would be sort of not swept under the rug, but it would be less of an impact on the general public because I think the general public assumes that football players do steroids.
I think that's accurate, but not – see, I don't think they assume quarterbacks do. I think they have this image of Sean Merriman in like a tank top busting out of his shirt and just like – I think they believe that guys like Brady and – I think that would make it that much worse because they'd say – oh, my God, even the skinny quarterbacks are taking it. Even guys that look like Tom Brady are taking it, blah, blah, blah.
That's true. I mean, let's hope we don't have to find out because
no.
I hate talking about it enough when it's not even the sport I cover. And having to talk about it with the sport that we cover every day would be, I think.
I'll just tell everybody what I've always
said. A nightmare.
Just assume everybody's taking it in all sports at all
levels.
Then
you'll never disappoint it. That's the way Andy and I have been treating it for about 3 years now.
All levels.
I want to
T-ball, that kid that hit a home run off your kid, well, which is weird in T-ball.
You know, I don't really want to talk about this, but did you happen to see that follow-up with this whole A-Rod thing with Selena Roberts, the Sports Illustrated reporter that
was at his house,
one of the ones
something?
That broke the story? She's working on a book, and supposedly part of the book is that she's trying to prove that he did them in high school.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, so this is, you know...
That's the one problem, though.
It's
when
a mess.
You start giving like parameters to when you did it, now you're a liar.
That's
again.
Why I think that he lied again. That's why he would be better off if he just left it at, yes, I did them. Anyway, I'm going to lead off the emails with Kristen in Boston.
Not Christian?
No, Kristen. She even gives a little XOXO. I don't know if she's Gossip Girl, but
have we seen photos of Kristen?
No, send a photo, Kristen.
We love photos here.
We might include that in the PFW in Progress calendar, which is about half full at this point. So we could definitely use, say, a July or an August. So I think you'd be a perfect candidate. Anyway,
you're looking at tankini.
You cats are the best. I have listened to you for so long and just wanted to say thank you for a great season. I'm looking forward to listening to all of your nonsensical talk post-season. Also, Andy, get your mind out of the gutter once in a while. It's good to breathe fresh air. Paul, I liked you better when you didn't agree so much with Fred. Fred, never leave the monkeys alone again.
Uh-oh.
Did it again today. Eric, love your art. You are so not gay.
Sure
are you?
Not.
Are you?
Question mark.
And I hate the J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 Brett Favre, and Mangenius. I have to agree with all of that. And that's Kristen in Boston. Thank you very much, Kristen. Sticking with the female aspect of our listenership, Emily is next up.
I like Emily.
2 days a week is not enough, especially with all the holiday travels. I need something to entertain me while I wait for yet another delayed flight. Come on, you guys have plenty to talk about. You can just read pointless emails like this. That's for sure. We do get a lot of those. Watching the games this weekend made me sick. We should have been there. We could have been playing against Pittsburgh. Plus, this is an oldie.
Paul, you know Fred read that like a month ago.
This is very old. Why is this here? Why is that here? Hi-ho. That's very old.
We have a terrible producer.
Yeah, you opened up this email for me. I assume that you did a little bit of
No, why would I?
Why would you do your job? That's a good point.
What do you do?
Okay, we're going to go to let's see. How about this one looks like a new one.
Why don't you look through
this?
This
is a Pro Bowl idea. Why don't we go to Pro Bowl idea, and then I'm going to go to some draft stuff because I think that's more along the line of what we were talking about today. Instead of putting, this is from Robin.
Another female.
No, not a female. What? It's a male. Instead of putting
Taste
the
of
Pro
caviar
Bowl.
Caviar dreams and champagne wishes? Is this Robin Leach?
All right. Instead of putting the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl, which excludes players on the Super Bowl teams, I have an idea about the Pro Bowl in Canton. It could take the place of the Hall of Fame game, which as of now is the first preseason game and forces two teams to have to play five preseason games instead of four. It would really hype it up as Hall of Fame week. During this week, you could have the Hall of Fame inductions, the Pro Bowl played at Fawcett Stadium with the All-Star players from the year before. There would also be special competitions for the Pro Bowl players during the week, which fans would dig, like quarterback challenges, etc. And also special event booths. Like the NFL experience, stuff they have at the Super Bowl for fans. Finally, I'd set it up so the rookie symposium also took place during this week and at Canton, which would give the rookies an opportunity to meet and greet the public, the Hall of Fame inductees, last year's All-Stars, and take in the history of the NFL at the same time. I think this could be a good late summer vacation draw for football fans, and that is from Robin in Alaska, and he says, I am male.
So does Eric, but it doesn't mean it's true.
This is true.
I like the idea. I don't think the football All-Star game is ever going to be easy because of the physicality of the game and that.
But that
I
might
think
not
making
be a terrible
a
time.
Is great.
That might not be a terrible time to play it, though, because it's such a low-key game.
But Bill would, I mean, you're in training camp now, right?
Well, that's true.
And guys are going to leave training camp to go do it from all teams, not just the two teams playing.
Yeah, well, that would probably make it.
Plus, Bill is an example of a coach who closed the door on last year, and now you're playing your All-Star game from the previous year.
Yeah.
Not to mention guys are on other teams.
Because now you're just trying, instead of two teams being inconvenienced, now you're inconvenienced potentially all 32. So that would make it tough. But
plus, players get surgeries in the offseason. They're rehabbing, prepping for the new season, and this kind of would accelerate that process or eliminate guys. The bottom line is it's never going to be perfect.
This is one more email that.
What about midseason?
Midseason.
I don't know. Everybody else does their All-Star game in the middle of the season.
Well, I don't think you want to do that. Talk about disrupting a team.
I'm just asking. Everybody but the All-Stars get a bye.
How about eliminating it?
You really want to just get rid of everything, huh, Paul?
No, I want to eliminate an all-star game.
You?
That's played in a sport that really can't be played anything less than full speed.
I know. But you got to have something.
Why?
Just a skills challenge?
Okay. I can live with that. I just think it's such a bad game because you can't play that game the right way. It generates no interest. Did you know anybody that watched it over the weekend?
No.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be...
His idea is great, though. It just, sorry, won't work.
Yeah.
It's a great idea of making that an event.
And the
like
rookies, by the way.
Current meeting, past, and future. It's all coming together.
And a lot of
great
teams did this. I know the Patriots did it as well. Took trips to with their rookies to the Hall of Fame. Just to sort of do exactly what the email suggested, what Robin suggested. Kind of introducing your new players to the past and the history of the game. But I do want to read this one, Andy, because it's from Josh. He's really upset at Fred. Letting Fred have it. What the hell, Fred? I'm feeling a little underappreciated over here. The other day you were bashing me for sending in an MP3 entry that was too long and was, quote, an abuse of technology, end quote. How about showing a little respect? I consistently make an effort to support your ideas and get things going for you on the show. And this is how you treat me?
Blah, 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 blah.
I was either the second or third person ever to buy you freeloading bastards lunch. I was the first person to call in and win for your Qdoba Question of the Week contest when no one else would. And now I was the first person to send in an MP3 entry, the first two, in fact. And what do I get for helping you out and showing you people how it is done? I get insulted. You're a pecker, Fred.
Screw you guys.
Not as big of a pecker as Andy, but a pecker nonetheless.
Oh, forget you.
And that's Josh in Arlington, Virginia, former PFW Emailer of the Week.
I was with you, Josh.
Right up until
the
last
end.
Line.
You.
Well,
are
I
we
thought,
allowed to say that word?
Well, it's too late now.
Woody the Wood?
Yeah. I thought that was really good stuff there. So I think
I have a good idea, though, of how they
felt like I needed to get that out there.
Be able to kiss and make up would be for Josh to send lunch next week.
All right, then. We do have want to do the audio recording here? How do I do that? Do I just have to click on it?
No, he does, and he does.
Oh, okay. Looks like Sam. Is it Sam?
Sammy. Is that a boy or a girl?
Sam from Brighton. It's a guy.
Oh, Sam and
Sammy.
Brighton. He has a... And the latest MP3 offering. Go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, I'm Sam from Brighton, and I wanted to talk to you about all the possible scenarios with Matt Castle's franchise tag. So I'll give a scenario, and then you guys can give me a percentage on how likely you think the scenario is. So first, Matt Castle accepts the franchise tag and plays with the Patriots in the 2009 season behind Brady.
I'm going to say 20%.
I will go 21%, just so I beat Paul.
My second scenario is the Patriots trade Matt Castle for a first-round pick or more.
75%.
Oh! 73, I'll go with.
To another team. My third
yes,
scenario is that Matt Castle is traded to another team for less than a first-round pick.
0.5%. There's my 100.
Oh, you
my
added
fourth
yours
scenario
up?
Is that the Patriots sign Matt Castle to a
multi-year
deal.
0%.
And he stays Brady's backup.
0.
I'm going to go with 0% on that.
I agree.
And my fifth and final scenario,
you better hope this is
that
zero.
Another team signs Matt Castle to a multi-year deal and gives us the two first-round picks they'd have to give us in compensation.
Zero.
I knew what the questions were ahead of time. That was actually pretty good.
That was. My favorite part was when he cut it off too quickly, though, and we answered the trade.
To another
goes,
team.
To another team.
That's Sam and Brighton becoming the second ever PFW in Progress listener to provide us with an MP3 recording.
I thought it was the third.
Right? The first one was Josh. He's done it
Josh
a couple of times.
Josh sent two, though.
And then somebody else.
No, Josh sent them both.
No, there were definitely two voices.
Oh, yeah. The
guy with
the pretty
cool equipment.
I have no
he,
idea.
He, like, made his voice sound different.
This was after I was on
crystal
the...
Crystal clear. He
Paul must
great
have been on the big show.
He admitted was he was
show,
testing
which
out
which I'll be again on
system.
Thursday. Thanks for reminding me.
Which means Andy will be dangerously close to falling asleep on his drive home.
That's not true.
That's true. I'd have to listen to Paul's interview.
How about some Pat's draft stuff?
How about it?
No, I'm not really ready for draft
stuff. Okay, good. I'll pick Michael Crabtree as my big disappointment because, again, I see him working out with Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice on NFL Network, actually, as we were speaking earlier. I'm not criticizing his talent, but the guy's not going to be what he's supposed to be.
Paul in London has a
hey,
few things. Hey, Cork Soakers and Fred, Andy, Paul, and Dan. Just a couple of questions about a few things. First, how many players that were on the roster last year have practice squad eligibility for next year? Do players like Red, Crable, and Law Firm, and Mike Richardson have PS eligibility for next year? And would the Pats be able to put them there with other teams taking them? I think all of those guys would have practice squad eligibility. No way of knowing if they would be able to get them there.
I would say no on some of them. Like Sean Crable.
I'd be stunned if you got Sean Crable on the practice squad.
Just because of his resume as a third-round pick.
Right.
People would go, oh, really? I can try him out?
All right. Second, Nnamdi Asamoah, I think.
You know, around here we call him the ass kisser.
And you could, you know, at least try to clean it up a little with Fred not here to protect us.
Did we not play our little thing before the show today?
Yes, we did.
Well, then we're fine.
And yes, I did put that so Fred could struggle with his last name again. Unfortunately, you got me with that one, Paul. I saw an interview a few weeks back on Total Access, and he seemed intelligent and wanted to better himself and his career. And I'm pretty sure Bill likes him or was testing him out as the only teams to throw at Asamoah were the Patriots, who threw to Moss, and the Chiefs, who threw to Gonzalez. What would you give up for him? As I think, depending on what we got for Castle, I'd give up the two first if we could shut down one side of the field with Nnamdi. That's a lot. I'm not giving two first for anybody.
Hell no.
Finally.
But if you get an extra first, I'd give a first.
Sure.
Because I'm not even sure I really like him as much as some people do.
I was thoroughly unimpressed against the
Patriots. He's a good corner. And to me, if you want to get a good corner, not even great, just good, he's a first-round pick.
Yeah, I agree. I would give a first-round pick for him, especially if I had an extra one. But I wouldn't give two for anybody.
No. Tom Brady?
Finally, looking around varying Patriots forums, people don't want to trade Castle to the Jets. If we could get two firsts from the Jets, then look at it this way. The Pats gain two firsts, the Jets lose two firsts, and have a huge cap number. Fair enough. We would have to face Castle twice a year, but who knows more about Castle than Bill Belichick, and I'm sure he would have a plan for facing him. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good show, guys. It makes the offseason entertaining. I would have no problems whatsoever, Randy, trading him to the Jets if that were the biggest compensation package that they could get. How do you feel?
Highest bidder, baby.
Highest bidder. Totally, totally highest bidder for me.
Plus, I do think Bill, I have confidence that if he knows a guy as well as he knows Castle, he could compete against him. He's not going to get killed by him every year for some reason.
Let's see here. Alex.
Wait, did I include Ray Lewis in my list of players?
No, you didn't. I don't think there's much of a shot at Ray Lewis.
I don't either.
Bart Scott would be a bigger, but I don't really like that Bart Scott. I don't think he's a very good player.
I don't think there's much shot at Lewis since Harbaugh is openly saying they're going to retain him. We're going to pay a lot of money to retain him.
Did we talk about his quote?
Whose quote?
Ray Lewis's.
About him not playing last? I believe so.
Right, okay. Alex is in Georgia, and he says he flew up to Connecticut this past weekend to spend some time with the family.
And boy, were his arms tired.
And he took a Sunday trip up to Foxborough and checked out the hall presented by Raytheon.
Was it open?
I was really impressed by the hall. Evidently, Dan's taking the show off today.
Remember he used to play it anytime you mentioned anything?
Yes.
Qdoba, presented by Raytheon.
Of course, I stopped at the pro shop as well and stocked up on Patriots gear.
He's still looking for it.
Anyways, with the franchising of Castle, didn't take my idea of franchising him as a punter. but what moves do you see the Pats making in free agency? I really think they need to go after a really good corner. I think Dante Robinson would be a great addition. And even though Nnamdi would be a great signing, it would take a lot of money to bring him in. What are your thoughts? So you love Robinson, Andy, I believe.
I don't know if I love him. I think he'd be a good fit. I think he's a physical player. I think he can cover. I think he would be a good fit for this defense, play zone coverage, instinctive. I like him a lot. But I think he's going to re-sign. He's kind of said that he wants to re-sign. They want him back, one of those things. On this market, there might not be as much money that could lure him away. Who knows? But I like him physically.
Well, I think he's a nice player, too, and he certainly seems to be healthy for the first time in a little while. But you had mentioned it. He's going to be back in Houston.
A nice little player.
Oh, he's better than a nice little player. He's a good player now.
All right, so we have who's up now? Mark and Mark from Cheddar. What's Cheddar?
That's where cheddar cheese is from.
Come on, what's Cheddar? You don't know?
We've talked about this before.
Well, refresh my memory. Shoot me.
It's in England.
I didn't have a colonoscopy, but you know, maybe I don't remember where everybody's from.
It's in England.
In England, right. Yes, it is where cheddar cheese is from.
Can't wait to listen to The Train Wreck, which is a Paul and Andy show.
Hey!
You've definitely gotten that. Always great for talk about nothing in particular. When will the Pro Bowl just be stopped? No one cares about it. I agree with the idea of selecting Pro Bowl players to congratulate them who played well. If the voting works, you know, obviously that's a reference to Brett Favre. But there should be no game. It is pointless. Also, why do they get paid for it? For most of them, it is pocket change. Though if Castle was playing, it would have been a big payday for him compared to the weekly salary for just this year gone by. I was wondering your thoughts on this. Jake Delhomme has been vilified for his performance in the playoff game this year. What is the difference? What is different to his and Pennington's in the playoffs, except Delhomme's was worse, but he makes mistakes a lot. Pennington doesn't. Therefore, both basically played the same amount below normal, and both had very good records in the regular season. Why don't Dolphin fans hate Pennington?
Because in 1 year, he took them from the basement to the penthouse in the AFC East, whereas Delhomme fans have been loving and hating him for whatever it is, 6 years now. So I think that's the difference. It's a long-term thing versus a short-term thing. One guy was career resurrection, team resurrection in one season. Delhomme is a pretty decently paid franchise quarterback in theory.
I totally agree with that 100%, but I also think there are a couple other factors, and I think one is not the least of which, the Dolphins' expectations going into the playoffs as the number, they were the number three seed, but they're playing Baltimore, one of the best defenses in football,
right,
as compared to the Panthers as the number two seed, and many thought was a legitimate Super Bowl favorite,
mm-hmm,
playing the Arizona Cardinals at home. I think there's a big difference between spitting the bit there.
And you didn't even get into a shootout. If you lost a shootout, that'd be one thing.
No.
But you made so many mistakes that it killed you.
Yeah, I think that the fact that the email is exactly right. Mark is exactly right. They both played terrible games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Pennington's was more excusable given the opponent and the team he had around him. They had no wide receivers left once what's-his-face went out of the game. Best there. Wasn't he the one that got hurt, Andy?
Sure.
They literally were trying to run spread offenses with no receivers.
Right.
They had no wide receivers in the game. So I think that was a little bit more understandable. Brent in Illinois brings up a good point. He wants to know what's up with my voice today. It keeps squeaking and going high-pitched. I sound like Bobby Brady. I have actually noticed that, and I really don't have an answer for you. I don't know why that keeps happening. I don't know. I wasn't yelling and screaming a lot last night, so I don't know why.
Did you go to Babies R Us? Or?
No, but it's funny that you should bring that
We're
up.
We're not going to talk about Northeastern hockey.
Okay, we won't then.
I think we should.
I mean, we can just move on.
They lost.
Where will we trade?
I would have allowed you to talk about it had they won. But they didn't.
They didn't only lose, they got murdered.
They didn't get murdered. It was 3-2 with 5 minutes left in the game. Please.
And then they gave up two shorthanded goals.
Right. So, I mean, don't say that they got murdered.
They were outplayed the entire game.
That's completely untrue. Completely untrue.
Wait a minute. You went?
No, but I watched it on TV.
He went to BU.
Unlike Paul, I went to BU and still like BU.
I mean, you know, maybe when they have the Codfish Bowl between Tufts, Middlebury, Colby, and, you know, Trinity, I mean, you can go to that. I don't know. I mean, when you go to a major institution at Division I level, then you can talk about these things.
We're an academic conference.
Yeah, huh? Is that good?
We're an academic. First of all, remove the word major.
You're an academic conference and
an
overrated
conference.
Academic conference.
No, perfectly.
How
well
much weight did Tom Brady put on in his first year? I'm sure it was just nutrition and prayer. That's Todd in Nova Scotia.
Is this continuing with the steroid
angle? I think that was. We probably want to stay away from that.
I am not comfortable discussing that topic.
Yeah. By the way, Tom Brady is still a very, very skinny man, by the way.
He's a girly man.
I'd want to add that, you know, for any of you people that like to be.
That's actually why
sarcastic.
Giselle has to feed him the grapes, because he's not strong enough to pick the grapes up off his own plate.
Hey, excellent. Strippers, I know that you gave me the link to that site that I could find the answers to these questions. 1994. Looks like at North Carolina, Duke at North Carolina. Is that the game that what's-his-face hits the half-court shot? Find out who won that game for.
Stripper sent you that?
He's an So webradio@patriots.com. Again, webradio@patriots.com. I mentioned Andy before we went to the last break.
How much we missed Fred?
No, that I saw an old friend last night at the Beanpot game. Gary Grudecki.
Oh, friend of the show.
Taking in the Beanpot last night. Missing us, missing the show. Wanted me to send his best to everybody, and he appreciates any kind words and even maybe the not so kind words that he's received, but mostly
no,
kind.
There is no one that had no kind words for him.
So he wanted
everybody
to make sure.
Everybody said, why did he go and Two Gender stayed?
Yeah,
that was the.
I think it was more Eric, but
yeah, and Eric,
but Eric's not here to beat up, so we'll have to move past that.
Did you tell him I keep threatening to call him?
Well, did you actually send him that email, by the way, that we talked about?
No, I will.
Why can't you just do that for me?
I forgot.
Okay.
More importantly, keep telling him to stay by his phone, because at any point we could call to bring him back and get rid of this idiot.
Well,
the bird.
That could happen. But Gary was just, like I said, he just wanted to say hello to everybody and give his best.
Why was he at the game?
He was watching it. Some people care about this. Why do you make fun of? There was 18,000 people there last night. Just because you weren't one of them doesn't mean that no one else can care.
Well, I assume the friends and family.
You know, you sound like those idiots on the radio. I mean, that's what you sound like.
Aren't
you sound
we
like
supposed
the
to sound like those idiots on the radio?
On EEI, who you know, why would you watch the Final Four college basketball? No one watches that in Boston.
Oh,
why,
I'd watch
you know,
that.
No, that's what they that's what they sports. Say. Well, I don't. I mean, you sound you really sound ignorant.
No,
what you
there
sound
was
like.
One legitimate hockey team on the ice last night.
There's no question BU's the better team. If you're trying to get me into an argument about that, that's stupid.
No, so I guess if you have one team that qualifies as major college sports.
Duke faces North Carolina in a battle between nationally ranked number one and number two. Derek Phelps scores 18 points and 6 assists as the Tar Heels win 89-78.
Is that Eric Montross?
That's the game coming up on Classic. Yes, Eric Montross, I believe, was on that team. 94 North Carolina team.
Okay.
I believe that would be accurate. But we are going to step aside and hope that Fred can come down and read the rest of the emails. Because my squeaky voice is really going in and out all day today, and I don't really understand why. So hopefully he can pick up the slack. We'll get to the emails. Maybe we'll get a few more phone calls. Andy will eat the rest of these Buffalo tenders, and his head will continue to grow.
It's a super sale at the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Shop now and gear up because everything is 20% off with additional discounts on select sweatshirts, hats, footballs, and jackets. Can't make it to the stadium? No problem. Shop online at PatriotsProShop.com where you'll still get 20% off every item you buy and pay only $5 for shipping. Get all the gear you need in time for the NFL draft and the 2009 season, or buy that special gift for your Valentine. At the Patriots Pro Shop, there's something for everyone. And you won't only find the largest selection of Patriots gear, but you'll have access to exclusive items you won't see anywhere else. The Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. Stop in or log on now. The super sale at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you're any closer, you'll be in the locker room. Visit PatriotsProShop.com for complete details.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So, stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 a.m. if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want
and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Inside the Hall is one of the newest additions to Patriots.com radio, featuring Patriots and NFL Hall of Famer Andre Tippett and former PFW writer Brian Morey. But wouldn't two Hall of Famers be better than one? I mean, why isn't Hall of Famer Paul Perillo co-hosting?
Dan's going to try to get Paul Perillo on the phone today from PFW.
Oh, that'd be nice.
He, too, is a Hall of Famer.
I know he is.
So,
recently.
You know, being inducted into the Boston University Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I congratulated him and everything, and I tried to get him trying to get him ready for the experience, because it's a wonderful experience. I told him no matter what Hall of Fame you get in, it's a special honor, and to be recognized in that fashion says a lot about who you are as a athlete, a competitor, and a person.
So maybe we'll get him on the horn after and have him talk.
I think they went to go to their television show.
Oh, they did?
Oh, okay.
He's such a media whore.
And now, back to PFW in Progress, featuring Hall of Famer Paul Perillo. Unless he's on the big show or shooting something for Patriots Today.
Jealousy will get you guys nowhere. You can try all you want. Andy, were you mesmerized by the blooper reel over there? What are you doing?
That was good stuff.
There you go. Thank you, Fred.
Well, Fred's not here, so somebody has to do the mic's not on thing.
That's true. What other stuff, what other league-related matters have we
what
not
are you
addressed?
For?
No, I'm just wondering. We still have some emails here to read, but I want to make sure we haven't left out anything in terms of NFL kind of nonsense. We haven't really even broached the topic of regular nonsense that generally dominates the conversation when you and I are by ourselves.
Former Patriot Jamal Anderson. Remember when he was a Patriot for like 30 seconds? Like they announced it or it was like out there and then he failed the physical and he wasn't.
Those things like that that I completely wipe off my mind. No recollection of that whatsoever until you just said specifically
what happened. I don't know exactly
how
it played out.
It was something like that, but no, I did not remember that. Did not remember it until you just said it.
Where is he now? Let him out, right, of the jail. He's
I assume.
Personal reconnaissance.
He's out with Chris Brown.
Oh, boy, what an idiot. How do you beat up your famous girlfriend when you're famous the night before the Grammys and expect to just get away with it?
I mean, You should think about beating up your girlfriend if you're anonymous and you're not going to the Grammys the next
day. Away
with
it. How do you do that?
I don't know what these guys. I don't know what these people think. I really don't.
Do you know Rihanna's her middle name?
I didn't know that. Did you know her songs are getting worse gradually?
Oh no question. Yeah, she's definitely gone down.
I was a big fan initially, and now I think they're getting worse and worse. Each hit that she comes out with, I think, is worse than the previous
one. She will have a good comeback at some point, though.
She's pretty hot.
Yeah, but she'll have a good catchy song like a couple albums from now, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember her first stuff. I loved it.
All right. Well,
I got nothing NFL-wise.
No, I know.
I mean,
so,
there's a lot of...
Rather than try to beat that... And, no,
pre-free
agency crap. And I'm not blaming you. I just wanted to make sure there was nothing we were missing.
Well, the waiver wire opened yesterday.
Well, I know, and Fred Kirsch is big on that. He had that on the new Patriots calendar app. Andy and I have no idea what that is. I saw that Mike Reese actually referenced it as well.
And
don't think that means anything.
Teams cut players yesterday.
None of which had any real waiver
implications.
Well,
some, but I don't know. I saw Mike Dragosevich was released. He would be a guy
would be
that
one,
would,
but certainly, Ruben Drones and Lee Bodden. And
Bruce Gradkowski, maybe?
He could be one of those guys.
You want to sign him? I always called him the next Tom Brady.
Yeah, you did. I remember that.
Kind of like Harold Miner was the next baby Jordan. Until he wasn't even a player in the NBA.
He was the next baby Jordan?
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're doing there now.
Proceed with the emails.
All right. Chris with a T-I-A-N, our buddy Christian Simonelli, says...
As opposed to Kristen.
Right. If you remember, I called in about a month ago and ranted on about how it was too early to talk about tagging Castle the first day after the last game of the season. Well... now is the time. As for a trade, I think going to Kansas City makes a lot of sense with Pioli being there since he was part of drafting Castle. On the flip side, since KC is rebuilding, I don't see Pioli giving up too many picks to the Pats. What do you guys think?
I don't know about too many, but If he has a market value, he has a market value. If you want him, if you think you're acquiring a franchise quarterback, there's a price of doing business there, right?
Business.
And if you're rebuilding, when you're a team that has 13 rookies or whatever last year, what better way to rebuild quickly than to add a franchise quarterback who has some experience?
Yeah, I actually think they've done a reasonable job of rebuilding. They have the pieces in place for a rebuilding process to succeed. I think they need a quarterback. And we'll find out if they think they need a quarterback too, or if they just think Tyler Thigpen is a guy with another year of experience can develop into that. So we'll have to see how that goes.
You know what? Everybody writes that they I don't know how they word it, but that they like Tyler Thigpen or whatever. Who's they? Because the only guy that matters is Pioli, and he just got there. So how much could he really like
him? I totally agree with that. That's the only thing that matters.
Because all the other theys are irrelevant. Scouts and coaches and anything that was there, irrelevant. If Scott Pioli likes him, okay, he can stay and he'll be the quarterback of the future. If he doesn't, any good that he did over the last year is irrelevant.
I agree. It's all up to Scott.
It ain't no they. It's a he.
We talked about it a lot last week. It's talent evaluation.
Certainly.
That's all it's about, and no one is going to be the exact same when it comes to talent evaluation. So
it's like you and I. We look at draft prospects. We very, very often butt heads.
Yeah.
And thanks to my larger head, I often
and
win.
I lose on that.
That
Christian's email
more about football.
Finishes up saying, as for the whole A-Rod Roid thing, I have to say I'm numb to it. Oh, well, just another guy. Is what I thought when I heard the news. In regards to the NFL, I think HGH is the 800-pound gorilla in the room. However, in my opinion,
Paul.
most NFL fans expect their players to be freaks of nature, and the public outcry would not be as bad as it is in baseball. What do you guys think?
Freaks of nature, there wouldn't be a problem.
That's sort of what John in Palm Bay was asking us, and that was another one that you and I disagreed on a little bit.
Word.
We both think it would be a very big deal, but less of a big deal in football than baseball because of the whole accepted nature of it in that sport.
I don't know about less. I still say I think the Pope would be mad at Tom Brady. Presidents would be mad at Tom Brady. You think Giselle would care?
God, no. He might be blackballed out of the NFL, and then she would be able to feed him all day, every day.
Which, by the way, Paul and I would like to point out, not only were we mocking that, Heath Evans was mocking that in a recent Boston Herald story, which he said Tom Brady wouldn't be at his charity softball
game
because he's probably going to be on the beach somewhere with Giselle feeding him.
So it wasn't just us.
Yeah, it bothered some teammate. Well, I won't say bothered, but
here's a good question. Emily has a question and wants to know, if you could have one major free agent this offseason, who would you pick and why?
That's a great, great question.
I don't have
Dan Klecko.
All right, this is great radio.
I'm thinking there's guys I love, like Carlos Dansby is my reaction, but I don't think he's great for the system.
Yeah.
So as a Patriot.
And it's hard. Are we taking everything into consideration? In other words, what it would cost to acquire the guy / pay him?
Oh, if that's eliminated, then I'll put Julius Peppers on the table because I'm intrigued by him, but I'm worried by the money.
That's exactly why I was asking the question. I would definitely have Julius Peppers at the top of my list, but I'm not willing to give a first and whatever more just to acquire him and then cough up all that money.
Just as a player, I'd love to see Julius Peppers because I think he is a freak of nature athlete and could do some crazy things.
I agree.
I'm just worried that if I give up a lot to get him, he's not as good in the Patriots system as I would expect based on the investment. Barack Obama's on TV. Did you see him last night?
No, I was at the Bean Pot.
You know what? I was really going to watch. He put me to sleep in under 5 minutes.
Wow.
It was 8 o'clock at night, and he just started his usual blah, 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 and Andy went.
LT is in Australia.
Why isn't he in San Diego?
I don't know.
Do you see the other LTs doing Dancing with the Stars?
I did see that.
You think he makes it through a full season without getting in trouble for something?
Cocaine abuse?
Yeah. I was going to, dance around it. You can go right at it.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. Hey, guys of PFW in Progress, including those of both genders and questionable artistic talent and training.
So that includes two gender. Eric, we got everybody in there.
That's true.
Triple gender in there.
With regards to, I see what you did there, to the Pats' greater need, do you think that adding a middle linebacker is more important than adding a pass-rushing outside linebacker?
No.
With Guyton being a speed middle linebacker in sub-packages and the stud middle linebacker in Mayo, I believe that there is a greater need for youth movement on the outside as Vrabel and AD are creeping up there in age.
I concur.
How highly did you rate Vrabel last year from his college tape, and was there anything that concerned you in regards to his playing ability?
Yeah, I didn't love him.
I loved his college tape. Andy hated his very skinny legs. That pretty much sums up our thoughts on Sean Vrabel.
And as a third, to me, once you get third round on, then you're drafting a guy. First and second round, you're drafting the guy to come in and produce right away. So, I mean, I kind of think the third round's that tweener cutoff stage.
Sure.
Anything beyond that is icing on the cake. I agree with the assessment, though, because somebody emailed in today and said, why don't we trade Castle and a first-round pick to San Francisco for Willis? And I love Patrick Willis as much as anyone, but A, I'm not giving up Castle and first-round picks to get anyone, and B, I just don't see the need for two stud inside linebackers when you have other needs on this team. I feel like you've gotten your guy that's going to be entrenched in the middle of your defense for the next 8 to 10 years, and that's Jerod Mayo. And he may be a quarter of a step behind Willis, and you know what? I'm not sure about that. For this system, he might be better. He may even end up being better in general. But why do I want those two guys? I mean, it's sort of like we've always questioned, do you really need all three of those defensive linemen up front at first-round picks and $20, $30 million each? At this point right now, they need outside linebackers and cover guys. I'm pretty happy with Jerod Mayo in the middle.
I mean, I can't really argue with any of the points that you made. I definitely agree with your assessment on the compensation to get a guy like Patrick Willis. Now, one of the other Ask PFWs we got had something to do with getting up into the top 10 in getting Malauulu from USC. I can never pronounce his name. And then you would have Mayo and Ray on the inside and really be ridiculously stout against the run, especially if you can extend Wilfork. You know, the emailer said, for the foreseeable future. I think that would be a nice...
I like it, because that's one first-round pick, not two.
Yeah.
Because I think of Castle as a first-round pick.
But you'd be getting that first-round pick for Castle
using
it on Malauulu.
But my point is, you're using one first-round pick on a linebacker. The other way, you're using two, because I look at Castle right now, until somebody proves to me he's not worth a first-round pick, I'm saying he's worth a first-round pick. A starting quarterback is worth a first-round pick, so I look at him as that. No matter what it is, there's people talking about, would you trade Brady for 3 ones or whatever? Well, in my mind, it's only 2 ones because I'm subtracting what I could get for Castle because I'm trading one of them, and the minimum I'm going to get is Castle for a first-round pick, let's say. So then my net gain on Brady is only 2 first-round picks, not 3.
Right.
Or whatever deal you want to throw out.
I see how you're using your math.
Castle right now is a first-round pick.
No math.
All right, on a serious note, LT finishes up the email.
Kidding aside.
Whilst you guys in America have been freezing, the land down under has been absolutely baking over the past few weeks with temperatures above 40 degrees Celsius for over a week.
All right, I'm going to need a conversion.
That's over 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay. 2.2?
A summer day is about 25 degrees Celsius.
Here?
Holy crap.
However, over the last weekend, juvenile delinquents set fire to an area of southwestern Australia, and these bushfires, have ravaged the countryside, destroying properties, businesses, and unfortunately claiming more than 180 casualties. This major catastrophe may resonate on a global scale, and if the PFW listeners would like to help the Australian and Victorian community in this crisis, please donate at redcross.org, .au. I can say that in my lifetime, I have never seen something as bad as this, and everything you guys can do to help is greatly appreciated. That's LT in Australia. Again, I'll read that. It's redcross.org.au. We don't normally read that kind of stuff out loud, but you know, when real life intercedes our nonsense here on the radio, you know, it's kind of hard to look the other way. So I read it.
Juvenile delinquents.
Yeah.
Why would you set a fire?
I don't really understand that whole phenomenon, but. You know, I would imagine it's like anything else that starts with, you know, just mischievous intentions, and all of a sudden tragedy ensues.
I would give them, even them, the benefit of the doubt to say they didn't intend to start a massive fire. They intended to just do something a little bit stupid.
Mike is in Pensacola, Florida, and he says, hey, Fred, Andy, Paul, and Eric of Gay. just wanted to see if you have heard anything new about Mike and how he is doing. Mike Parenti, of course. I've just been emailing with Mike a little bit back and forth. He's doing some freelance work in the boxing realm.
Right. He's still having some success in the
female
bed.
Department.
Yes.
Which is good for him. You know, it's nice to be young. He was
it's even
excellent.
Nicer when the girls he's having success with are
even younger.
Very young. Well, not grossly young, though.
Yeah, not like, you know, illegal young.
Not strippers young.
He was excellent on the show and brought, oh, look at this, and brought excellent insight, a lot like Paul does. I concur, Mike. Also,
I agree,
they're
both idiots.
I have questions concerning James Sanders. What are the odds that he re-signs with the team? I kind of look at him as a solid player that is fundamentally sound, soft-spoken team player who consistently makes good plays.
I agree 100%, and I'm going to go
signed
77%.
I think there's a good chance that he'll be back. I think he is looked upon in much in the similar fashion that you just described.
But the question is, do people elsewhere look upon him with that? Because that's when you get
any
in trouble.
More than that?
I don't know. If somebody just says, you know what, he's a good player. They're not going to pay him. We'll pay him a little extra.
We'll see.
I don't think so. I don't think he's thought of all that highly in league circles. So I think you can retain him at a palatable figure. But you know I love him as much as anyone.
Mike finishes up his email.
From Mike? No wonder.
Finally, what do you guys think of Iowa running back Sean Green, Virginia linebacker Clint Sintem, and Florida punter? Is it punter? Really? Chaz Henry? Do we really care what a punter?
I don't know anything about Chaz Henry.
I don't either. I know the other two guys. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. And thank you for putting my friend Zach's picture of BB in Parcells at the Senior Bowl at BFW Football Weekly.
Should have said that earlier. Yes.
That will be Patriots Football Weekly, Football Weekly, in case you're wondering at home.
Hopefully your friend Zach got his papers. Carol Hardy was efforting to send him some of the copies of those so he could see it.
Sean Green, I like a lot, by the way, as a running back. I think he's a very productive guy.
He's got some issues, right?
Yes. Had some issues at Iowa. Not exactly sure what the extent of those are, if they would really hurt his draft status. But I do think that he is a sort of under the radar. I mean, you hear a lot about Knowshon Moreno and Beanie Wells and some of those other running backs. I think Sean Green is a guy that...
Fourth, fifth kind of guy.
Yeah.
I think he
might be a reasonably good producer right away. Clint Sintem, the only reason why I know this guy is because he's one of the few true outside linebackers at the college level. We hear a lot about the Virginia connection with Al Groh, one of the few teams that plays a 3-4. This isn't a guy that you have to make the projection. Can he go from a college defensive end to a pro linebacker? He's playing outside linebacker in a 3-4. And he is slated to be an end-of-the-first-round kind of guy, a 20-30 kind of pick. So that's a name I'm keeping an eye on.
Early mocks, now, for what they're worth, their mock drafts, some of them have put him as a potential Patriot at 23.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting guy.
You know what I'd say about both of them is, obviously, Mike is kind of alluding to the pipeline and Ferentz and Al Groh. I think we've seen, like, Vince Red was with Al Groh. Got kicked off for some issues.
Right.
Ended up at Liberty with an assistant who worked under Al Groh and then took over at Liberty. But the Patriots didn't have a problem signing him. I would say the same thing for Green. Whatever his issues are, if Kirk Ferentz gives him a letter of recommendation, I think it would bear some value. It'll improve his status with whatever Bill Belichick thinks of him, whereas other teams might not have quite the same relationship and the red flag might be a little bit more red than it would be if Ferentz shoots it down for the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that the running back situation needs to really be addressed that high anyway.
But you never know.
But I do like Sean Green as a player. I agree with what Andy just said about him.
And the other thing, doing my quick work on this draft, there is...
The Andy Hart Big Board is in progress.
Coming together nicely. There are a number of outside linebacker, defensive end, hybrid, 3-4 guys that bear watching this year. The other thing I'll say is a lot of cornerbacks with a little size. I know that's a common Patriots fan thing to lust after. Why do we always draft the 5'9", 5'10", 5'11 corners? There are a lot of corners above 6 feet in this draft.
Right.
I'm not saying they're all good. I'm just saying you look at, say, the top 20 prospects at the position, it's of note that a lot of guys are over 6 feet. Now, generally, if a guy is over 6 feet, has the hips, and has the speed, that's when he ends up as like a top 15 type pick. But I know that's something fans have lusted after, and maybe this is the year you get one of those tall corners out of the draft. Maybe with one of those second round picks.
You know, on a little tangent here, you brought it up.
Okay, bring it up. My big board?
Do you think that's real important?
What?
The size at cornerback?
No, I do not. I think if you can play, you can play more often than not. Now, I think sometimes it matters when Randy Moss is going up certain plays where you just get out-jumped or you know, a playmaker makes a play on you. More often than not, I need the guy who can turn and run with a receiver, has fluid hips, great instincts, can play the ball, all those things first. But in an ideal world, if you give me all those things first and you throw in that he's over 6 feet, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm not...
Like Dominique Rogers-Cromartie?
Yeah, I mean...
He not only benefits from all his reaction, but he's got the length.
Talk about the athleticism just oozing. We all watched his college tape last year, and we looked and we said, well, he's just an amazing athlete, right. And he's so much more athletic and gifted, physically gifted, than anybody he's playing with. But he was playing at Tennessee State.
I still don't get his story. I still haven't read like a definitive feature about all the moving around at high schools and
considering where they find players nowadays, there's something missing there that we don't know about. There's some kind of
like
issue
even the Super Bowl
had.
Week, there were some features, and none of them gave me enough to really say, "Oh, that's what happened."
There was definitely some sort of issue that he had that has yet to be sort of
yeah, something there
addressed, fully explained.
But dude can play.
Dude can play. Another Michael next up. I know you're probably sick of talking about Castle, but now we know for a fact that he is tagged in what is the best scenario with him now? The worst scenario and the most likely scenario that will happen. So he wants to know what's the best scenario, the worst scenario, and the most likely scenario with Castle.
That camera just zoomed in on your bald spot behind you.
What are you going to do? Listen to the funny man laugh.
What's the perspective here? The worst case scenario for the Patriots, best case?
Yeah.
Okay, so best case scenario is you trade him for a 1 and 2 twos. I mean, would that be the best case scenario, Paul, or a 1, a 2, and a 3? I'm trying to be ridiculous
say,
without
being
overly
ridiculous.
I would
say the best scenario would be a package of draft picks that includes 3 draft picks with 1 being a first. Let's just say that.
Okay. Worst case scenario?
You get a second round pick.
Yeah. I would say worst case scenario.
Well, I guess worst case scenario, you can't swing a deal at all.
No, because maybe they want him. I would say worst case scenario is, yeah, you want to trade him, and like the biggest offer is like a third. That's the worst case scenario, because now you're paying him $14 million when you didn't really want to. Right. Now, I don't pretend to know their exact intentions.
And we don't know.
But if you don't want to keep him,
we do not
and
know.
You pay him $14 million for a guy you thought you were going to trade, that's a worst case scenario.
Yeah, so there are a lot of different things, and it's kind of an ambiguous thing to
now,
sort
most
of
likely,
pinpoint.
They trade him for a first-round pick, just a first-round pick.
Yeah, and I think I do want to stress that. We do not know what the Patriots' intentions are with Matt Castle.
No one does.
Okay, but I just want to make that clear, because I know everybody's coming off as this is what they're going to do, and we know they're going to do this, or we know we're going to do that.
I have no idea.
We're simply stating what our opinions are in regard to the matter. We don't know what Bill Belichick's intentions are, nor do we pretend to know.
Well, sometimes we pretend.
But not in this one.
No, not in this
one.
And
I want to stress that. Make sure we don't get in trouble.
You guys get us a little quiet over here. Thanks.
That was the best.
You think they can see you right now in that camera?
That was his best moment all year. You think like Matty No Socks right now is watching us like back in the control room and saying,
I think
wow.
Somebody's doing something.
Is that what they're doing, 2G? What's going on?
I think they had to white balance the camera and your head was there.
Well, they used your, either that or they used your forehead. 2G, what are they doing? Is that what's going on? Thanks, you've been helpful. See, I'm trying to back you up today,
he's
but you're not really giving
nails
me a lot of reason.
He does nothing.
Mike finishes up his email by saying that he loves us, by the way.
How many mics are... Oh, the camera just lost interest in you, is now watching
good.
TV.
Best show for NFL news, bar none.
I agree.
So
yeah, I'd like
nice.
To point out, everybody was like bending over backwards and, oh, wow, the Globe announced today that the Patriots are going to wear their alternate jerseys twice next year. Yeah, listen to this show you would have known months ago.
Yeah, and I get made fun of for that.
I don't know what that means.
Fred Goodall, man. You don't remember that?
No.
Were you not there like last
I don't know
week
what
or 2 weeks
about.
Ago? When I had mentioned that, And Fred gave me a bad, dirty look about
why
he's
saying that. Yeah, we had mentioned
that
like 2 months before that.
I know that.
We have talked about that, I will say, no less than a half dozen times on this show.
When our source first told us about it,
right,
we said it.
So I don't know why Fred got all worked up.
I don't really either.
Because we, literally, I think it was a half dozen times we had talked about that. But, you know, that's a little insight of information you occasionally get on this show, wrapped around lots of other nonsense.
Right. It's just a fun fact.
This is Brian in Baltimore.
I like Baltimore.
Next up. Let's see here. He says, Torrey Holt, Fred, forget about Hushman Zuazaga Championship. Hey, guys.
TJ, who's your mama? Championship.
Championship. Since there are a lot of Patriot emailers with nicknames, I'll keep mine simple so you don't get me mixed up. You can just call me B.
B and Balt?
B and Balt. Anyways, I haven't written into the show in a while, so I thought I'd chime in. I saw on ESPN.com that the Rams may be shopping Torrey Holt. How good of a fit would he be as a number two or three receiver, and what do you think it would possibly take to get him? In my opinion, Moss, Welker, and Holt would easily be the best receiving core in the NFL, but then again, with our poo-poo secondary and the fact that we need to focus on that, it may be asking too much. Proceed.
Yes, it may be asking too much. I'll take Torrey Holt to be my three.
Absolutely think that that would be the best receiving core in the league, by the way. Yeah, that would be a great addition. What does it take to get him?
I have no idea. I haven't read anything.
I didn't know he was available.
I kind of saw something alluding to his availability. But I would say, I mean, a third round pick in that area is going to be.
Third round pick.
Second or a third round pick is where it's going to be. I mean, that's just where the NFL is these days.
So you can get great. Yeah, that's, I mean, judging on the fact that the Patriots only give up fourth round picks for all their great players.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine Torrey Holt is only worth a third-round pick, but I guess there is some precedent
there. It's the way the market works. I mean,
Let's see here.
Paul, you're running out of gas over there? Whew, I just reading emails. Woo!
I just hate reading emails. Brent in Illinois, the one who was talking about my voice cracking. I have not been able to listen to these past couple of weeks, so I don't know if you've talked about this or not, but what are the odds of Lawrence Maroney being cut this offseason? Does he have a low cap number, or is it something to look at? Also, do you guys think there will be any major retirements this offseason from the Patriots, like a Bruschi or a Kevin Falk or some type of surprise like that?
No. I do not think there will be. And today's the odds day here on PFW in Progress, so odds that Lawrence Maroney gets cut. Now, I think if he gets cut, it would be in training camp. I don't think he'll get cut before training camp. I'm going to say 21%. What?
What? Not 20 or 25. Oh, 21. 21.
Slightly more than 1 in 5.
I don't think he's going to get cut. I do think there is a slight possibility that he gets Chad Jackson. He comes to camp. They just decide, you know what? It's not really working. He's not going to get it. We're going to cut ties. I don't think that's going to happen, however. I think that.
So they would cut him, though?
Yeah. Huh. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it would be a very, very, maybe 5%.
Oh, I think so.
But I just think that for what they're asking him to do, he can do. They're not asking him to be the 1,600-yard back. They're asking him to chip in with Sammy Morris, with Heath Evans, with Kevin Falk.
Lawrence Maroney.
And just sort of, you know, maybe even Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, who knows, and just sort of contribute. They're not asking him to carry the load fully. I don't think they're going to do that again. Do you?
Lawrence Maroney.
And I think that could happen.
Amazingly, his first touchdown of the season. I say amazingly because this team has now scored a total of 47 touchdowns.
Thanks, Al. But I don't think, I mean, I think it could work out that he regains his, you know, his spot as the lead back, but I don't think they're expecting him to do that, and I don't think they're asking him or relying on him to do that.
I don't know. I think if he has a very strong preseason, he starts opening day, and with the expectation that we want you to keep running the ball until you can't run it.
But like last year, for example, you know, I think we all thought, and I know I did, I shouldn't speak for you, that he was going to be the unquestioned lead guy. Well, on opening day, he had 10 carries, and Sammy Morris had 10 carries.
Right.
I think that's what they're looking for him to do, just contribute. If he turns into being that 1,200, 1,300-yard back and scores 15 touchdowns, great. I don't think they're expecting that.
I don't know if the word is hope or expecting, but I think if he has a good preseason, then they're looking for 1,200 yards from him.
Did you think he had a good preseason last year?
Not particularly.
I don't think that they think that can
I also
happen.
Think if he has a bad preseason, he's going to get cut. And by bad, I don't just mean on the field. I think if he misses a game
hurt.
With a hamstring injury,
that
he could get cut.
That's the 5% for me if he's just out
again.
Oh,
I think it's higher than that. I think there's a chance of that happening based on his own track record combined with what I would perceive as some frustration.
Well, it'd be interesting. You know, plus, if he's coming off surgery, there's a chance that he's not ready to go at the start of training camp. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the chances of him missing time, you know what I'm saying? They're going to deem that a pre-existing injury. It's not like a nagging hamstring or something that would irritate anybody.
Doesn't mean they'll like it.
No, but if it is what it is, what are they going to do about it? Either they're just going to cut him if he's not ready to go at the start of training camp?
No, not at the start of training camp. But I think if they perceive anything to be slower than they want it to be or should be, I think this is a critical camp for him.
Well, I totally agree with you.
On a lot of levels, not just skill-related, but attitude, demeanor, work ethic, health, whatever they perceive him to be and not to be. Breaking news on ESPN, Miguel Tejada has been charged with lying about his steroid use. I didn't see the whole thing.
Okay.
Somebody like the government or the authorities.
All right.
Not just Andy.
And Brent is also a little worried about how the team will approach the offseason to address the defensive needs. And I guess that all depends upon what happens with that $14.65 million elephant in the room. Elephant in the room is big this week with the PFW and Progress emailers. I would guess that they would try to go long-term with the contract if they want to keep him. But is that really in the best interest to be a highly paid backup? And would the Patriots want a highly paid backup? I don't really think that's an option at all. That does not really seem like the team's style. Everyone is saying the Pats would keep Castle only if Brady's not 100% healthy. What does that say about Kevin O'Connell? Pay $14.65 million for an insurance policy seems way too high, so I think Castle will end up with the Vikings or maybe Kansas City. It will be fun to watch how this all plays out, especially with the new team in the front office. Thanks, Brent in Illinois. Okay.
What? Was there a question there?
Well, I didn't know if you had any thoughts, profound comments.
A-Rod wears lipstick.
Okay. Well, this is a longie.
I was watching Two-Gender punch away at the little thing that's supposed to give out sound bites, but he punches
but
away at it,
out.
And then we never hear anything. Like you said, elephant in the room is popular, and he was punching like, around. And
I was looking to see if we had an elephant noise in here.
Oh, okay.
You don't even know what's in there?
Sometimes I forget.
Shouldn't you know that like a player knows the playbook?
There's like thousands of things in here.
Study it. What do you do all day long? What do you do? You think Bill's okay when Lawrence Maroney goes, but Bill, there's like 1,000 plays in here. I can't know them all. What do you think Bill says to that? You, out. Right? Players have to learn thousands of plays. Players that I'm assuming are dumber than you. You know what the difference is? They try.
Go f*** yourself.
They try.
Go f*** yourself.
People that don't try and just waste any very limited talents they have.
I knew that one was in there.
What?
Go f*** yourself.
He learns like 3. Chad Jackson was like, I know the go pattern. I'll just run down the field. You're Chad Jackson. Overrated bust.
Strippers is here to save you from yourself since Andy screwed it up. What Tejada is convicted of or charged with? Former Baltimore Orioles shortstop Miguel Tejada was charged today with lying to congressional investigators about the use of performance-enhancing drugs in baseball. Federal prosecutors accused Tejada of making misrepresentations to congressional staffers during an interview in a Baltimore hotel room focusing on the prevalence of steroids in the game. The charge came in a, quote, criminal information, end quote, a document that can only be filed with the defendant's consent and usually signals a plea deal is near. Tejada, who now plays for the Houston Astros, is scheduled to appear at 11 a.m. tomorrow in U.S. District Court in Washington, court officials say. So he was charged with
what kind of pansy-ass
lying
charge
to
has
congressional
to be approved
investigators
by the defense.
Because he's making a deal, is what they're doing. Where do we tender Pierre Woods?
Deal or no deal?
They seem to like him for some reason.
That's a new one. I've never heard that before.
Where would you tender Pierre Woods?
On paper.
What level? I knew. I could see it in his little tiny little brain with that little hamster what, in the background.
What are the two? What's the one below the 2.1 something? What's the 1.8 maybe?
Is that the lowest?
No.
That's the second lowest. That's the one I predicted.
Second highest. There's a cheap one, a 1.2, a 1.8, and a 2.1, I thought.
I go with the second lowest one.
1.2?
Yeah.
I go 1.8. It's only money. If we can pay a backup quarterback $14.65 million, we can pay Pierre Woods 1.8.
Okay.
You can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a ball.
Can
we get that soundbite? Do we have it? Oh, he'll look through and find out. He hasn't gotten to that page in the playbook yet, coach. Nothing, huh? What are you looking under? Wrench, ball, if, dodgeball. He's punching away nonstop in there and has absolutely no idea how to use that machine. What does that thing cost? Thousands of dollars, and they'll just put some monkey in front of it like you.
All right, I want to get to this long email because...
So read it.
We have nothing else to talk about. Sean in Alberta says, I've got a couple of draft-related items that I'd like to get your opinion on. First off, it seems like every year a couple more teams move to a 3-4 defense. This year, the Broncos and the Packers are both making the change. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that the Chiefs are also heading in that direction once they hire a head coach. They have hired a head coach, correct?
Todd Haley.
In my view, this is a big disadvantage for the Pats. It's getting harder and harder to find front seven players for a 3-4 every year. Meanwhile, a team like Indy can keep picking up those small, quick guys who can't play for anyone else. Do you think there could come a point where Belichick would think about modifying his scheme just because it might get too hard to find certain players? It seems to me that 3-4 teams are already at a bit of a disadvantage since the front seven needs so much size. I mean, there aren't that many athletic big guys out there. I think there are a lot more prospects that can only fit in a Tampa 2-type defense than there are guys who could only make it in a 3-4. What do you guys think? In the ads, don't get me wrong, I love the 3-4. I think it's got a lot of advantages, and I find it to be the most interesting defensive scheme due to the versatility it has. I'm just scared we might be losing a bit of a personnel edge.
Well, I don't think it's reached the breaking point yet. I mean, I don't even think it's approaching 50% yet, is it? If you go down the league with who plays a 4-3 and who plays a 3-4?
I really don't look at this kind of stuff as being as much of a problem as some other people do. I think there are always ways to find players that fit your schemes, and you need, it's a matter of finding the players.
Right.
I think that's the, you know.
But there are, I mean, if you want to, there are less people that are big and athletic than there are who are smaller.
I totally agree with that point. But my point is, would I rather have a harder time finding guys that fit the scheme that I want? Might be harder to find that guy, or would I rather play, in my opinion, a lesser defense? Now, listen, the Colts have done a reasonably good job developing their Tampa 2 style to the point where they have a decent defense. It took them 10 years to find that defense to finally become serviceable to augment an offense that was as good as any offense in football for that whole time. And it's only been a couple of years that the Colts have had a defense to go with it. Would you agree? Mm-hmm. I think that system of defense stinks, to be honest with you. To me, it's all predicated on, let's make sure that we don't give up any big plays and keep everything in front of us, and let's not make any mistakes, and let's keep, let's not try to force any turnovers. Let's hope the other team makes a mistake. I hate that. And that's one of the things I haven't liked about the Patriots in the last year or two, is they haven't made those plays. Back in the heyday, you know, when they were getting 29 interceptions in 2003, they were dominating. They were dictating the way the game was played to the other offense. And I like that style of defense much better. I like the attacking style, turnovers being created and things along those that nature. I want to stay with the 3-4. I want to stay with Belichick's creativity and the versatility that it provides. It's something to think about, the fact that more teams are going to the 3-4, but not all 3-4s are the same either. So
I just don't think there's that.
I think there are players that can be found.
Leave it every year too. Or I mean, we've been going to the 3-4. This has been the story for like 5 years, and it's not like it's overwhelmed the league yet. Because it just hasn't. I haven't done all the research, but I know there's still more 4-3 teams than 3-4 teams.
Well, let's go down the list, and let's sort of try to figure it out. We know the Patriots play at 3-4. You count them. Okay. Patriots 3-4, Miami 3-4.
Yep.
The Jets are going to be a hybrid because they're going to play Rex Ryan's thing. So let's just, for the sake of argument, for this hypothetical, let's count them as a 3-4.
Okay.
Buffalo is a 4-3, true 4-3. Right. We'll go to the north. Pittsburgh is a 3-4.
Right.
Cincinnati, 4-3.
Right.
I think they're a 4-3, right? Cleveland, we don't really know, but I'm going to guess they're going to be a 3-4. I'm going to guess Mangini's going to take...
Probably, because okay, so they tried to put the personnel in place.
Let's count him as a 3-4. And Baltimore...
He's hybrid, so you got to... Okay. I guess you make them 3-4, too.
Okay. Tennessee, Indy, and
Houston,
Jacksonville are all 4-3, right? Houston's a 3-4. Well, they have been in the past. I don't know what they are right now.
Oh, I thought they were 4-3.
All right, let's count them as a 4-3. That kind of that offsets the other ones that we kind of threw in there. So how many we got so far? Six.
No. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Am I just counting 3-4s? Because that's why I was having problems, because I only have five fingers on each hand.
Right, okay. And then we go Oakland was a 4-3. Denver's going to change to 3-4.
Maybe.
So that's
they're going to transition.
San Diego's a 3-4. That's 8. And Kansas City was a 4-3 last year. I don't know.
They could be 3-4 because Haley worked with Arizona, which was trying to go 3-4.
Right. So what's that? How many? That's 8 in the AFC. So you are getting about half and half. I mean, if you look at it that way, that's half of the AFC. Right there. Well, I don't think we have to go down every team, do we? Or do you think there's a preponderance in the AFC?
No, continue. This is compelling radio.
Well, I think there's more in the AFC.
Don't be a punk.
I do think there's more in the
go
AFC.
Go change your grease in your hair.
Because of Mangini and Romeo and McDaniels and Parcells, they're all kind of in the AFC.
Okay.
So I do think there's more in the AFC.
Giants are definitely a 4-3. Philadelphia is a 4-3. Dallas has been 3-4.
Right.
And who's the other team in that league?
Washington's
a 4-3. Minnesota's a 4-3. Green Bay's changing to 3-4. Detroit's a 4-3. Chicago's a 4-3. So far, just two.
Right.
Carolina's a 4-3.
Tampa.
Tampa's a 4-3. Atlanta was a 4-3, right?
Yep.
And New Orleans is a 4-3. So you're right. There are more in the AFC.
I'm always right.
The West, what do we got? The Rams, Seattle, both 4-3s. San Francisco was a 4-3. And the other one, Arizona, was kind of a hybrid.
Yeah.
So let's just say 3, so that's 11.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's getting to about half, but not quite there yet. Not quite. I mean, I just don't think it's a huge concern. Let's see here.
It's down to talent, though. That's the bottom line. Now, the 4-3 was great when it was Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks and Simeon Rice, and it was aggressive, and they were making plays, and they were leading the league in defense. And then when they didn't have Warren Sapp and they didn't have Simeon Rice and Derek Brooks was getting older, I mean, it's just if you have the talent, you're going to be good.
Well, that's my feeling, and I would rather have talented big guys, even if they're harder to
plus,
find.
Plus, the other issue is, I'm sorry, but most safeties and corners aren't all that relative to the system, and that's where the Patriots need help, safety and corner. They've found the Richard Seymour, the Vince Wilfork, and the Gerard Mayo. Maybe you could say they haven't found a young outside guy, but the problem is finding some guys who can cover. And if they can cover, they can cover.
Right. And I know that there's a theory out there that there's a Tampa 2 corner, but I don't necessarily think that a Tampa 2 corner would be a bad fit in the Patriot system. You know, just make, you know, don't get beat. I mean, basically, Tampa 2 corners tackle well. They keep things in front of them. I just think that they need some more depth at cornerback. I agree with you, Andy. Let's see. One more thing. I was looking back at the last several drafts, and a couple of picks caught my eye. 2002, Patriots select tight end Daniel Graham at 21. Ravens select who at 24, Andy?
Ed Reed.
2004, Patriots select tight end Benjamin Watson at 32. Cardinals select linebacker
Carlos Dansby
at 33. I know that's an awfully easy to second guess draft picks after this many years, but still, we all know how much Belichick loves Ed Reed. I'd like to know what changed so much between college and the pros, because he obviously didn't feel the same way then. Could you imagine the defense with those two guys? I don't think it's a stretch to say that it could have been the Patriots walking off the field as six-time winners last Sunday, if only those two picks had been different. I know the Giants' loss was mostly on the offense, but still, we're talking about a potential Hall of Famer and a Pro Bowler player on defense. Suffice it to say, if the Pats had taken Pettigrew from Oklahoma State in the first round, Suffice it to say that if the Pats take Pettigrew from Oklahoma State in the first round this year, I'll be fairly upset.
Keep up the good work. Why is everybody on him? I saw Mike Reese is all over.
Because everybody thinks they're going to take a tight end.
But Mike Reese is all over that. A guy who caught the eye early. I mean, just focusing on him. Why?
He wrote a guy who caught the eye early.
Something
he wrote
like
that?
Yeah.
What a weird way of writing something, but I don't really know.
To me, a guy who'd caught the eye, if I had an eye watching anything, would be corners and safeties.
Yeah, I agree. Josh wanted to write back in. Josh in Arlington, Virginia. Andy, you sound like an a-hole.
Well, I probably have been accused of that.
For a guy who lives off his wife's talents, you sure do spend a lot of time telling other people that they have no useful purpose or that they suck at their job. You sound like a self-loathing a-hole who goes around ripping other people because of how you really feel about yourself. Two-gender is doing fine. Get over yourself, a-hole. This show today is terrible, and that is 50% your fault.
Of course,
I'm the other 50%. We said that coming in.
Right.
With no Fred, this is what you get. He'd always rather sit there and criticize the other members of the show who step up to lead.
I don't know.
Andy never wants to lead the show. He'd always rather sit there and criticize the other members of the show who step up to lead.
Not accurate. I was asked to never host again after hosting.
I see a pattern.
Is that or
here.
Is that not true, Paul?
Guy never sticks his neck out, but always feels qualified to rip those who do. What a douche. I couldn't agree more, Josh. Good email.
Factually?
Your factual part of this is very much like Paul Perillo was a 14-year-old who was tired of cutting the bushes at home.
Well, me, it was washing
in Casa
dishes.
Perillo. And I used to cut them as badly as I could on purpose, hoping that my father would come home and see how crooked they were and say, God, I can't let him do it again. He destroys them. But unbeknownst to me, my father was a step ahead, as he often was, and said, Paul, what a great job on those bushes. Make sure they're done again next week. True story.
I used to break dishes.
I continued to do the bushes every week.
I get out of washing dishes. Only got so many dishes to go around if you break them all. So, yeah, stick it, Josh. I was asked to never do the show again.
We apologize for the show. I mean, when Fred's not here, there's nothing we can do about it. I'm sorry. We do the best we can. We've tried to talk about football today.
I think that's our problem, actually. We've talked too much football.
For about an hour and 45 minutes of this show today, and it's five of, so that's, you know, all but, say, 5 or 10 minutes, we've talked about football. That's what you guys tell us you want. We're telling you that Andy and I are much better in the tomfoolery category than we are in the strict serious football category.
Plus, in all seriousness, we're much better with three or more.
Yeah, well, it's hard to do it with just two people.
One person's reading the email, and the other person feels like he has to respond and analyze the email, and then you can't just be stupid.
Yeah, I agree. And I
do my best work when I'm being stupid.
Well, that's especially true for you.
But I specialize in stupidity.
It is true that we, I think we're the two of us especially are better when we get to
screw around.
We get to make fun of Fred. Yeah, our two foils on here, too.
Now, Fred has mastered the art of reading emails and screwing around all at the same time. He just screws around
with
emails.
Well, that's why he's the best, and that's why he's the MVP of the show.
Oh, Tigger Thompson.
But our two foils aren't here today. Fred and Eric are, though. I mean, let's face it, that's what their role is.
To provide
material for our nonsense. And
Fred was coming
I'm really
at one.
Preoccupied with this 1994 Duke-North Carolina game, too, and I haven't really been able to watch it as much as I would like.
Yeah, I have no interest.
Number one versus number two. Don't you want to know what happens?
No.
I already told you what happens.
I know what happens.
North
Carolina
Celtics, won.
The Celtics draft Eric Montross.
I didn't go.
I've seen how this story ends.
That didn't go very well.
I thought you said Fred was coming down at one.
He said he was going to try to get here by one, yes.
Unsurprisingly, his work is never done.
You want to read another email?
Sure.
Ryan is in Zurich. That's in Switzerland, in case you didn't know.
I didn't. I thought it was in Germany.
Munich?
Ah, Munich. The icks get me every time.
Yeah. You keep talking about that academic power that you went to. In recent years, the Patriots have traded into future years with their draft picks, presumably because their roster is well-stacked and that they don't always have spots for their draft picks. As of now, even before any potential Castle trade, the Pats have 1 first, 2 seconds, and probably 2 thirds with the second, a compensatory pick for Asante Samuel. How many spots on the roster do you think are even available for this year and next? Which players do you think will be cut or not re-signed? What do you think about James Sanders coming back?
I think James Sanders will be back. Spots that are available, I think there are always spots available for the entire draft class to make it if they're worthy.
Yeah, I don't think that that's really an issue at all as to why that they try to.
They have rookie free agents, one or more, make it every single year.
And I think that they're they're the seventh best team in the conference. And I know that there's a huge asterisk with that because Brady was out, and there's no way they would have finished seventh in the conference if Brady didn't get hurt. But you can't tell me that the Patriots couldn't use an upgrade at several spots. I mean, they have guys that are okay, but are you going to try to tell me if you hit on some draft picks that in 2 years' time you couldn't have three, four, five new starters?
Or even not just starters, but anything.
You know what I'm
saying.
Roster
spots.
You know, starters, like last year I said that Merriweather, Harrison, and Sanders were all starters at safety. You know what I'm saying? Rodney Harrison and James Sanders started the season as starters. Brandon Merriweather was a starter.
They didn't draft guys. They made
because
trades
they feel like
because
they didn't have
room on the roster.
I don't agree with that.
I don't think Bill approaches it that way.
No.
I think he goes into camp with most roster spots open. You know, the top 15 or whatever, sure, he knows, as he says, there's a good chance Tom Brady's going to be on his roster. There's a good chance Vince Wilfork will be on his roster, Gerard Mayo. But
I agree.
Beyond that, there's battles being had. So to say in April he's thinking, well, you know what? A guy I would take here in the fifth round is not going to be as good at backup linebacker as Pierre Woods. I don't think that's legitimate. And I think a lot of those guys, you're going to tell me Mike Wright, as much as we say he's a valuable commodity, they couldn't draft a guy that you go, wow, he's better than Mike Wright right now, and he might be a starter down the road? I mean, I think there's a two dozen of those guys.
Mike Wright's an interesting guy. Is he back?
Yeah.
I think he might get money.
Sure.
See that right there? That's why they don't like the show.
I'm open to either. Can I see him being back because he's more valuable here than elsewhere? Yes. Could I see him getting Tom Ashworth? Yes.
How about like your preference either way?
My preference?
No, like your do you have a feeling of one
no
over
idea.
The other?
No.
It's exactly 50-50.
50-50.
Okay.
50.00 on one side, 50.00 on the
other.
We'll
wrap it up with John in South Carolina then.
Is this ripping us too?
No, I don't think so. Hey, guys, and two gender. I know cornerbacks and safeties will be on everyone's mind in this draft, but do you think the Patriots will be looking at a Tank Williams kind of player? I guess that would be described as a bigger safety that plays closer to the line. I never had a chance to see how Tank would have been used this year. Do we expect Tank to be back? And if so, will he play? Well, I think if he's back, he'll play.
That's a good question. I mean, how do you count on a guy that's had major knee injuries like that? You're counting on to play a strange hybrid type role. He may be back, but I certainly don't think they count on him for anything. And in terms of bigger safeties that could be that position, I don't think there's a lot of those guys out there. Huh. I mean, they play linebacker in college for the most part. Guys that have that type of size and that type of speed and athleticism are every down linebackers in college. Some of them move to the pros and play safety. But, I mean, like the guy from Georgia, Thomas Davis, who went from safety to
Carolina.
Linebacker, was kind of a tweener at Georgia.
Yeah.
They aren't really a lot of those guys around. I mean, half the safeties in college are tiny. You look at safeties, you go down the – I mean, you got guys that are like – 5'11", 205. I mean, that certainly is not a hybrid linebacker type. There's not a lot of big-bodied safeties in college.
Let's see. Mark from Cheddar says that he has a retraction to make. Last week he said he thought that Tugenda was getting better at his job, but today he has been rubbish. When Fred takes the day off, does Tugenda think he doesn't have to work? And by the way, both Eric and Fred are away. Has Eric turned Fred?
Oh, wow.
Well, that would be quite the scandal.
Good one, cheese boy.
Scandalous. Woo.
Let's see.
Josh, by the way, stick that in there. Even the listeners are noticing that two genders sucks, just like you.
And in the interest of fairness, we had a couple of critical emails about our show, so I want to read the other side. Paul in London says that, well done today, guys. Great show. No Eric or Fred, for some reason, has created a great show. Congrats. P.S. Why did Andy call me Pip earlier? That is my nickname, and for some reason, anybody named...
Well,
Paul, I guess.
No, I was actually merging. I knew it was your nickname and you're Paul and he's Paul. But also, isn't that like one of those European, Old England, Pip Longstocking or something?
Pip, Pip, cheerio.
Yeah, it feels something from across the pond.
Okay, Strippers has an email about 3-4 defenses. Why does his emails never open up on the other side, two gender? What's the deal with that?
On the other side of what?
You know how when you have the
I've never sat in that seat.
That's true. Oh, counting 3-4 defenses. Boring. Which I agree.
Go find your 18-year-old.
Boring!
All right. That's going to just about do it for today. Hopefully, we can have our illustrious leader back. I don't really care about Eric, but as long as Fred is back on Thursday,
if I have,
the show
let's
should
make
be
a
okay.
deal. If they're not back, we go overboard the other way on Thursday with a two-man show. We just screw around nonstop, and then we let people decide Tuesday or Thursday.
We'll just say,
that's
you
a
know,
great idea.
If that does happen, Andy and I will give you an hour of the most foolishness that you could possibly imagine, and then you will get a rare treat because two gender will have to step in because I'm going to the big show.
What?
I have to leave early on
Thursday. I had a solo show.
So, and I don't think you want one. I don't think you want to open up that can of worms.
Charged with lying to Congress about steroids.
But anyway, we're going to wrap this show up. Fred Kirsch and Eric Scalavino will be back on Thursday, presumably.
Hopefully.
And until then, we'll see you next Thursday.